Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, more Mark Means antics. Second, Chris Watts has got to be one of the dumbest people in the world. Third, that is not a threat. We just talk like that. Fourth, a former police officer is sentenced for the death of his wife of 30 years. Let's talk complicity, how not to act on an airplane, and finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as that little bell so they receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Today is Tuesday, so what does that mean? That's right, we are going live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time right here on YouTube and Facebook. Please join us. And immediately after that, if you're a Patreon member, we will be doing our Patreon live show as well. All right, straight to the docket today. Mark Means, I'm telling you, I should be sending this guy a mug. He always helps provide content. We know because Mark Means filed a motion to compel, basically saying, hey, I haven't been turned over any discovery yet in the homicide case, and I want it. Now he has filed a supplemental motion to support his motion to compel, detailing how he drove from his office to pick up the discovery at the district attorney's office, only to be told that they'll turn it over on a disc at their own time, and that they will also be filing a motion in July in response to their motion to compel. And therefore, he made the basically five-hour trip, round trip, I guess, and then he wants to be compensated for his time. A couple of things about this. We'll go through the motion really quickly. But he's basically billing for his hourly rate, but he has to remember now he's being paid by the state, and I've never seen a state rate equal that of your private hourly rate. Usually it's rather significantly reduced. So let's go through the motion rather quickly. Mr. Mean complains that he was given the opportunity or in the government's responses to come and inspect the evidence. Yeah, that's the standard response, but let's face it, everybody knows you're going to get the discovery, whether it be on a hard drive, hard disk, or some sort of digital form, or ultimately a paper copy. Obviously, with large discovery, most people these days prefer, particularly the prosecutor's office, turning it over in a digital format because it saves money. Well, needless to say, Mr. Means apparently got up on June 21st, having not received any email, phone call, or the like, that this notice was not adequate. He apparently had sent them an email stating that he was going to come and check out the discovery. So he awoke at 4 a.m., traveled to Fremont to ensure that he was timely, arrived approximately 10 a.m., spoke with the receptionist. She then contacted prosecuting attorney Blake, and Blake ultimately responded stating that they were going to file their responses and that they will turn over a hard drive. Apparently, Mr. Means had turned over a hard drive that he had just purchased, wanting the discovery. Well, needless to say, Mr. Means didn't get any discovery, went home, and then filed his motion to compel. Now he is asking to be compensated. As a result of the discovery request notice above, my notice, failure of any communications by the prosecuting office, my office incurred 11 and one half hours at $325 an hour for legal fees, minus 2 hours to meet with client, which was not going to happen if production by prosecution had occurred. He had driven 728 miles, charging the government rate of 58 cents per mile, as well as the drive to get the hard drive. So that's $186 for his mileage, plus the fees he is charging, and wants to have the government reimburse him $4,346.06, basically stating that if the state had complied with the rules, that this never would have happened, and therefore he wants justice. Okay. Certainly, the prosecution has an obligation to turn over discovery. As a defense attorney, when you charge a case, you, as the state, are saying, I am ready to go, and here is the discovery. So, yes, I do understand Mark Mean's frustration with having the discovery turned over. Any defense attorney has run into this. However, the mere fact that you didn't get the discovery and the prosecutor is stating that when the prosecutor is saying that everything has been turned over previously to you, other than maybe a few matters related to the homicide case, i.e. the Tammy Daybell autopsy, that should be produced. I get it. But the prosecution is going to say, we've already turned this over to you. The case has been stayed. Now, certainly the defense can get up to speed on the case. But I have never seen, never, ever, ever have I seen a judge hold the state basically in contempt and make them be awarded attorney's fees to the defense counsel. It's just not happening. Now, where does this kind of stuff take place? In the civil world. Where does Mark Means come from? In the civil world. Welcome to the criminal world. Mr. Means, I will be shocked, and I will send you a Crime Talk mug if the judge awards you $4,346.06 as my way of saying I was wrong, but I don't think that I am in this particular case. But hey, you keep up the fight there, Mr. Means, because you provide great content. Thank you so much. Next on the docket, Chris Watts must be the dumbest man alive. Now, we all know that Chris Watts is spending the rest of his life in prison because he pled guilty regarding the deaths of his wife, Shanann, and his two little girls and his unborn child. And he pled guilty. It was a knowing, voluntary plea. And then apparently he gets to prison and realizes, hey, this kind of sucks. I should have not taken a deal. And so now Chris Watts has a fan club of people trying to say, I want to do post-conviction relief for Chris Watts. The injustice that took place, the case just wasn't investigated enough. It happened too quickly, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But as we've talked about the other day, Chris Watts was back in the news because his cellmate's fiance, but that she claims that there was an intimate and close friend with Chris Watts, that he had made certain admissions. And then it turns out that the girlfriend, maybe not be a psychologist, and is no longer with the ex-cellmate, etc. Just bunch of drama nonsense, right? Well, it gets better. There was a show that aired the other night called Cellmate Secrets. Well, one of the people that was interviewed by this show was a woman by the name of Miss Cadle. Now, Miss Cadle wrote a book. It turned out, maybe there was some plagiarism in it. We actually interviewed Miss Cadle early on. It was more of a bizarre interview because she never would let the video camera come down below her nose. Anyway, take that for what it's worth. She's interviewed. She states that Chris Watts tells her a story a little different than the five-hour interview that Chris Watts told detectives and the FBI, which we have all those recordings. You can hear him confess again to all the crimes that he committed. Not once does he tell the police what he apparently told Miss Cadle was the fact that he had apparently given Shanann some oxycodone, had slipped it to her in an effort to have her suffer a miscarriage. Additionally, she states that Chris Watts stated that he buried the children, obviously who were stuffed into the oil collection tank, away from Shanann because he hated her so much. Well, that is just completely inconsistent to what he said. But here's the question. Why is he stupid? Is he stupid because he killed his wife and children, entire family? Yes, that is absolutely a reason for that. But here's the big one. If this guy thinks he's going to get any post-conviction relief, guess what? Everything he says can be used against him. Just like that interview that he gave to the agents after he was sentenced, all could be admissible. Now, he has 0% chance of getting post-conviction relief. And I state that with great confidence, 0% chance. But let's just say hypothetically he did get relief. All of these statements that he writes to all his little pen pals, they all come in as statements by a party opponent, i.e. an admission. So Chris Watts, I don't know who you're getting legal advice from, because clearly you're not receiving any. You're getting a bunch of jailhouse lawyers trying to give you advice, and they're using you, and you're being manipulated by these people. So my advice to you would be to sit down, shut up, and do your time. You're not going to get post-conviction relief. You're not going anywhere. So just get over it. Move on. Next on the docket, that's not a threat. We talk like that all the time. There was a little incident in Idaho just the other day. And the suspect, Stephen Judy, is alleged to have threatened a neighbor, maybe a friend, with setting his house on fire and also threatening to shoot him with a crossbow. The victim states that Mr. Judy came over to the house, threatened him. The victim then hid behind a propane tank, whereupon he noticed that the house was on fire. The victim was able to extinguish the fire, but did call the police and the fire department. Now, the police went and talked to Mr. Judy. When they arrived, they realized that he was probably under the impairment of alcohol. That's what a breathalyzer test showed, and he was twice the legal limit. So he was pretty intoxicated. The police continued to talk with him and said he knew nothing about setting a fire in any way, but maybe if you're two times over the legal limit, you may not have realized what you've done. Now, he did say that he may have admitted to telling his friend that he was going to kill him, but hey, that's something we say to each other all the time, so bygones, we're just joking. We're just joking. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you can't even threaten to go around killing people these days. It's just bad advice. So Mr. Judy is charged with felony aggravated assault, felony first-degree arson, and also that pesky little DUI. So once again, even if you think you may have been doing a bunch of joshing around with your friends and playing around saying you're going to shoot them with a crossbow and maybe kill them and burn their house down, little legal advice, keep your mouth shut. Say the magic words. That's right. Lawyer, lawyer, lawyer.
You, get out. Yeah, you.
All right, lawyer, lawyer, lawyer.
All right, if this story doesn't make you wonder who you are sleeping with at night, I'm not exactly sure what will. Now, a former Houston police sergeant, right? Probably been on the police force quite a while, worked up the ranks. He's a sergeant. Pled guilty the other day to the murder of his wife that took place back in 2019. She was a school librarian. Most school librarians are very nice people. They want to help people, not exactly violent people. But Hilario Hernandez was sentenced the other day to 40 years in prison, and he got 826 days credit that he's been in jail. Well, what did he plead guilty to? Well, he pled guilty to killing his wife, 52-year-old Belinda Hernandez. She apparently was found dead in her kitchen, shot to death. The police then realized that her husband was a sergeant with the Houston Police Department. An affidavit for an arrest went out that day, and he was ultimately arrested some 250 miles away. He's been in custody the entire time. The couple had been married for 30 years, and even to this day, today, the police have no motive as to why then-Sergeant Hernandez went home and shot his wife of 30 years. If that doesn't make you pause, I'm not exactly sure what will. As in all cases like this, there are victims other than the deceased. In this particular case, the Hernandez family had two children. The daughter made a statement saying that we lost both of our parents, and they're ultimately glad that this is done, but it's just a tragedy all around and no explanation given. Now, Mr. Hernandez is 50-some years old, so with a 40-year sentence, you know, he's going to die in prison. Seems like an appropriate disposition given the circumstances, and at least it provides the family some closure. All right, let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, how not to act on a plane. There have been a lot of news reports these days of people's behavior on airplanes these days. Okay, just think about it, ladies and gentlemen. You're on an airplane full of people in a big aluminum tube flying in the air at 37,000 feet. How should you act? Well, you should act like you're going to your grandmother's house. Be polite. Don't give the flight attendants, the flight crew, any trouble whatsoever. Just remember, you're an adult. Behave like one, right? Would you act that way if you were at home? You wouldn't. Just be polite. Let's talk about a guy, though, from Utah that could have used a little of that advice before he did what he did. So Luis Antonio Victorio Dominguez was on a flight from Los Angeles, to Utah. Apparently, there was some chatter that maybe the plane was going to a different location, and he thought that he was on the wrong flight. So instead of quietly inquiring, just make sure you're on the right plane, which is actually probably pretty unlikely because you wouldn't have been able to get on the plane if your boarding pass didn't beep, right? Anyway, Mr. Victoria Dominguez panicked. He then got up, tried to get into the cockpit, and when that didn't work, he then opened up the exit door, pulling the chute, and then he jumped. The only problem was he missed the chute, fell, broke his leg, and had to have surgery. He is now facing 20 years in federal prison for interfering with a flight crew. Now, Mr. Victoria Dominguez, you are going to prison, my friend. I have handled several of these cases, and the United States attorneys who are going to be prosecuting you take this very seriously. The FAA takes it very seriously. You are going to prison, sir. But now what is Mr. Victoria Dominguez's excuse? Well, apparently he had arrived from Mexico a couple of days ago. The plan was he was going to take a bus to Utah, but he changed his flight. Apparently, he had been doing a lot of crystal meth for the two prior days where he thought he was going to fly away, and he missed his flight, hence the reason why he was a little paranoid, perhaps. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how to behave. Your mother taught you better. Behave like an adult. And next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Robert Goldwitzer. My God, is this guy stupid. Now, we'll give him the presumption of innocence, although he did confess ultimately what he did. But the crime, ladies and gentlemen, the crime. That's right, the crime that was committed upon him. When you order your chicken nuggets and you realize when you get home, they didn't give you the dipping sauce. Is that not a crime? It should be, right? Well, that's what Mr. Goldwitzer believed, And so what did he do? That's right. He used his phone, called the McDonald's, and threatened to blow up the restaurant. Mr. Goldwitzer, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day for many reasons. First, getting that upset that you thought you would threaten harm to somebody because you didn't get your chicken nuggets dipping sauce. First reason. Second reason, you used your own phone to call in the threat. And third, you confessed. You, sir, are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. If you are the winner at the end of the week out of all the other contestants and ultimately are crowned the dumb criminal contestant winner of the week, you could receive a mug. Yes, you could do lots of things with the mug. You could blow it up. You could put dipping sauce into it. But just be smart about it, Mr. Goldwitzer, because right now you're being dumb. That's right. Dumb criminal contestant of the day type of levels. All right. That's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. Hopefully you'll join us tonight on our live program, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Please join us. We'll have a great conversation. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.